Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce and brought to you by Verisol, helping companies with their marketing, branding, and PR. And I'm joined by my co-hosts, Les Smolin and Jeff Parks. For this segment, we have Maurice Offit, who is the president of Offit Kerman. What is Offit Kerman, Maurice?
Offit Kerman is a law firm. It appeals to mid-market businesses. It has 105 attorneys, 8 different offices. Our southernmost office is in Tyson's Corner. Our northernmost office is in Philadelphia. And we pretty well are located along the 95 corridor.
When was the firm founded?
1987.
What makes you better than anybody else? And don't be bashful.
I think we're better than anybody else because we're trusted advisors. We go ahead and we put clients' legal problems in our lap. And we say it's our job to go ahead and help our clients get through their problems.
Well, a lot of law firms will say they're trusted advisors. I get the impression you guys really are.
Well,
that's
our
goal.
What's
the difference?
Okay, you know.
How do you go about that? Not just doing good legal work, I'm guessing.
No, I think, you know, that's a given. You know, you should do good legal work. I think it's, you know, how you come across to your clients. You know, you want to be honest. You know, you want to think for the long term. You know, I can tell you our firm's philosophy is never go ahead and bill a client, you know, on a short-term basis. You know, make sure the client gets value for the legal services that you get. Clients appreciate that, and they become loyal clients for a long, long time.
Right. And the firm, you have a partner in this firm.
I have several partners, but, you know, I started the firm with my brother.
You started the firm with your brother.
Started the firm with my brother.
And you guys are still liking each other.
We still do.
Okay. How does that happen?
You know, I think it's part of family. You know, we shared a room growing up.
I've seen some families where that doesn't happen. So
yes.
What's the secret to success here?
I think the secret to success is that we like one another. We're honest with one another. We communicate with one another. I think our parents made us do that. And that, you know, we have, both of us have a sister. And that, you know, she was part of the group as well. But, you know, I meet a lot of families, sadly, that I find to be dysfunctional.
Right.
And that, you know, I find that fortunately for my family that we were pretty good.
Yeah, great.
Most people would prefer to actually stay within the confines and the comfort of a large firm.
So well, I never
what
worked for
a strikeout.
Yeah, I never worked for a long firm. I'm sorry, a large firm. You know, I personally think that I would find that stifling. You know, large firms for the most part, you know, are based on number of hours of work. You know, the lawyers that go there work very, very hard at the beginning, and they have a formal track that they have to follow. So, you know, it wasn't my path. Mm-hmm. You know, I left law school at the age of 25, and I was on my own at the time I was 26.
So you had a couple of false starts.
I did.
With other law firms.
What
were you able to do in your law firm that you couldn't do elsewhere?
Well, I could run the law firm my way.
And you know? What is your way?
Well, my way was to go ahead and make sure that my clients were satisfied with the services that we were rendering and that we did so at a fair price. I didn't want somebody to tell me this is what you must bill per hour. Sometimes you invest in your clients and you have, you know, rate flexibility. Okay, and I think the other thing that you do is that, you know, sometimes you go ahead and represent clients on a loss leader capacity, saying that you'll grow with their success.
You told us that your mom and dad worked into their mid-80s. What were the takeaways from that?
Well, I saw a family, you know, that, you know, really believed in work. You know, my dad died at the age of 86. You know, he worked on a Friday and then died the following Monday. So he really did work until he died. And my mom's going to be 85 in November, and she still works.
You say that without any hint of regret.
No, you know, I'll tell you, you know, you learn from your parents, and that, you know, I think my parents had purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I find a lot of people that I represent, you know, have sold their businesses and they retire, and that they think the pastures are greener. I'm not sure that they really are once they experience retirement, and retirement can go on for a long time.
Right.
When did you realize you had a purpose in doing the work you're doing?
I think I realized early on. I mean, I can tell you from the time I started my own firm at the age of 26. I mean, you know, I tell the people who work in our law firm today that in many ways I think that, you know, they have it easier because they're paid a salary and they're mentored by other people. My path was not that way. The only way I was going to bring home money to my family was to go out and get a client and to make sure the client paid me. And the only way the client would pay me is if he was satisfied with the service that I rendered.
Have you always known you wanted to be a lawyer?
No, of course not. You know, so that
how did it come into your way?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I was pretty athletic. I think I would have preferred to be a professional athlete than to be an attorney. Okay, I actually got scouted in high school by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay, you know, to become a professional baseball player, and you know, once they saw
me, what position?
Those days, I was playing center field.
Were you?
Yeah, you know, once they saw me, you know, they said, oh, I think better, you know, that you ought to go to college. But, you know, anyway, you know, my dad was a CPA, so I grew up in a professional service environment, and I took an accounting as a major in college.
What was the dinner table talk like growing up?
It really was not business, you know, it was all family kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What were you like as a kid?
You know, I was a kid that my parents, I think, had a pretty easy time raising me. You know, I don't think I caused too many problems. I was a pretty good student, athletic in high school and things along that line.
Other than mom and dad, what important influences, looking back on it, you can give some credit to?
Well, you know, I think the big influence that I had was that, you know, as I got out of law school and went to work for two other firms and I was not successful there and then started my own firm at the age of 26, that I was determined not to fail. And that, you know, that really, I think, held me in good stead, you know, so that, you know, I'm driven. You know, from the experiences that I had then, and, you know, I'm still driven today.
We've heard a loyalty theme, that you're loyal, you get loyalty back. How does an organization get more loyalty?
I think you have to have empathy, you know, for the people that work for you. And that, you know, I see the number of people that we hire, you know, and I see people in our firm that, you know, work from paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, even then, you know, they have a hard time and that, you know, they come to us and many times they ask for loans that, you know, I think for the most part, you know, we go ahead and make, you know, we feel sorry for them. And that, you know, I think that we try to have an environment, you know, where, you know, the two biggest things is, you know, treat it like it's a family type atmosphere. People enjoy coming to work for us.
And you don't feel that you get taken advantage of by being that kind of generous?
I think actually, you know, that we don't. You know, that I think your generosity comes back, you know, as a, you know, a reward for you. Because people promote you and promote your firm and get other good people to come your way.
Mm-hmm. You describe yourself as being driven.
I do.
And earlier you said that you were ambitious, but it's not about the money.
No, you know, I think we have an entrepreneurial spirit, you know, so I wouldn't call myself as ambitious as I would call myself entrepreneurial. So, you know, entrepreneurial, you know, from my context, is that we run our law firm like it's a business. You know, I think a lot of lawyers run their law firm, you know, where they tell their clients, you can't do this, you can't do that. And we're trying to tell our clients, yes, you can do this and do that, you know, and make money along the way.
So we're just coming out of a pretty nasty recession, and I'm sure you participated in some unhappy outcomes with some of your clients. What was that experience like for
you? Terrible. Okay, yeah. You know, sadly, you know, I had a client that committed suicide, okay, because of, you know, financial hardship. So, you know, to live through something like that, you know, is absolutely terrible. And, you know, other examples aren't as graphic, but, you know, we represented a client that was in a retail business and they had 120 years of experience in a family retail setting and they went out of business. You know, so, you know, your heart goes out to clients like that and you try to get them back on their feet.
How has the business of law changed since you've been practicing it?
I think it's so different, you know, so that in the old days, you know, clients would have a great deal of loyalty with law firms, you know, and that you'd find generation upon generation saying, you know, I'm a client of this particular firm. I don't think that's true any longer. I think people are looking for value and looking for advice and that, you know, you have to be on your game, you know, in order to be successful.
So you're growing. When you bring a young associate in to interview, what are you looking for?
You know, I think we're looking for people that have drive, okay? I think we're looking for people who have the ability to bring business into the law firm. I think we sort of take as a given that they have the intellectual capacity, you know, to do good legal work. So it's not that part we're looking for. We won't read a writing sample. We won't get wrapped up in a resume.
Right.
You know, we're looking for people's character.
So you've you make it sound so easy. Tell us about a really bad one.
Well, honestly, you know, it hasn't been easy at all, you know, and that I remember vividly, you know, there was a day in 1990, you know, our firm started in 1987, and that my brother was away, and I was representing a client that took me to a place of business where there was a dispute to the point where the person he was having a dispute with pulled out a gun. So, you know, that wasn't my happiest day, you know, being at gunpoint with him. And then to find out later on in the day that a partner of ours was leaving the firm and a big client of ours might not be able to pay a large receivable that we had. So, you know, you learn from triple your mistakes. Whammy. Yeah, you know, it was a triple whammy. And that, you know, you learn from that, you know. And
what
that,
did you learn?
Well, you learn, you know, not to think that you'll always be successful and that you learn to operate your firm in a way that, you know, you should be careful, you know, of the expenses that you have and, you know, the people that
looking
you have
back on your entire law career, what's your proudest moment?
You know, I'm not sure that it's one moment. You know, I'm proud of the success that Offutt Kerman's achieved, and I'm proud of people coming to me after I've given them advice, you know, saying I really appreciated everything that you did for me.
Uh-huh. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
You know, 5 years, I think I'll still be working, and that, you know, I think I'll still be doing pretty much the same thing, and that, you know, I hope that I have my health, you know, that allows me to do that, and that, you know, I think I'm, you know, on this path.
Great. What's the website address, Maurice?
Website is, you know, OffuttKerman.com, and that, you know.
OffuttKerman.com.
Yeah, OffuttKerman.com.
Great. We've been speaking with Maurice Offutt, who's the president of Offutt Kerman. I'd like to thank Les Smolin and Jeff Parks for helping me with the interview. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight.